The Mizzy Awards, lumberjack matches, fatal five waves, split personalities possibly, and three hounds are reunited, and these two hounds are about to talk about it right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Would you watch us? I'd watch us.
Would you talk to us? I'd talk to us. Welcome, everybody, to the Raw After Show on AfterBuzz TV. When you get the Boxcar Superstar and Quasto in the house, it's going to be weird. And, you know, not everyone might know this song and the importance of it.
No. Everybody knows the song, but they may not know necessarily where they know it from. But you do know the song.
You do know the song, and it's just it's a special kind of song.
It is. It's from one of the best films ever made.
It's a pretty good, very disturbing film.
Yeah, won Academy Awards. I mean, sure it's did. Very, very popular. Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I don't know if this scene specifically won an Academy Award.
I don't know. It is burned forever in everyone's psyche.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ted Levine.
Oh, great actor, great voice.
Great actor. He stayed busy over the last 25 years, but wow, you're right. His voice was very unique.
Yeah, even still, it's that deep. I mean, it's unmistakable. You hear it and you know exactly who that is.
I had a hard time. I've seen him in stuff since, and I have a hard time believing that was him.
I know. It's like he was normal then. He was on Monk forever as the head detective on that.
And guys, if you can't figure it out, it's a Sister Abigail reference. We'll get to it.
Yep.
Because
yeah. Think about it a little bit.
Something to talk about.
He's a man who's his own sister.
We think maybe
or
a Snapchat filter.
Yep, probably that for sure.
Or a Facebook. No, probably more Snapchat.
Not Snapchat.
Yeah, or Snapchat. Instagram. Whatever. Yeah. Let's get into it, guys. My name is Johnny LaQuasto, at Jake Quasto. Marquis McCarty is out on assignment. Mark Warzeka is out on assignment as well, or maybe just being a dad. I'm not quite sure. But hey, we have maybe only half a squad here, but we have a powerful duo. And the man next to me, he is the former Hollywood Heritage Champion in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He has wrestled all over the globe, including for SmackDown, for Raw. He's worked for NXT. And I can't wait to see him back on television very, very soon. Find him everywhere at True Hobo. He's the Boxcar Superstar, the Hobo!
Yeah, we're working on something. Because Hollywood's come to the CW, they've asked me to maybe come back.
We need characters.
Well, they need guys who can look into a camera and tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys can't do that. I have been blessed with a unique gift to be able to look you dead in the eye and tell you exactly what's going on.
Okay, well, we got to wait on that for sure. We already have someone making up names for our duo. Let's see, who is it? Zeno Hour said, Johnny plus Hobo equals Jobo. We'll take it.
Jobo? Yeah. It's a good one.
I'm down with that.
Sure.
Oh, we also have Honey.
Honey?
I'm going to go with Jobo.
Honey.
Yeah.
How about Lil Hobo? LaQuasto and Hobo? Lil Hobo?
Lil Hobo. I dig that. Lil Hobo. It sounds like we're like a two-person band.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no electricity, all acoustic.
Yeah.
And now, Lil Hobo.
Lil Hobo.
And then we just get really
into it. My Spanish is pretty rusty. Do you speak decent Spanish?
I do. I speak healthcare Spanish, which would get us nowhere. But I mean,
as long as you can write a song in healthcare Spanish, we can be, you know, a formidable duo in Lo Hobo.
I think we could figure that out.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. All right, so Raw tonight, a lot of moving parts here. Let's get right into it. Now, of course, chat roll, thanks for watching, and we're going to ask you a lot of questions throughout the show.
It's going to be real interactive because it's only the two of us.
Yeah,
plenty of time.
And there's a couple things I'm interested to see what other people's thought process is about.
Especially
the Sister Abigail thing. So starting off, it's the Mizzy's time, everyone. It's Miz TV. It's the award show.
I wish there was an award season for this. It just seems like every couple of weeks there's a Mizzy's.
Pretty much.
I'm surprised every time.
Mm-hmm.
I never know where they're going to be handing them out.
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, you get a maid and say, well, we got some Mizzy's. Just to give them out.
You think he's just got crates of these things at home?
There's been a lot of Miz TVs lately, so I guess every fourth Miz TV have to have a Mizzy.
Okay.
Angie, we can't do phone calls. I apologize. At least I don't. Pretty sure we can't.
if you can type, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, we could. You could type, and we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
That's done.
So, the first Mizzy of the evening goes to Curtis Axel for Best Performer, essentially.
Well, I mean, I think he and Bo Dallas deserve it.
Yep.
Bo was nowhere to be seen.
He was nursing injuries.
Persona non grata.
Yeah, not sure where he was.
Huh.
But he gets the award, Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
Next, Best Supporting Actors goes to Sheamus and Cesaro, and they hit the ring. And, you know, now they're all just best friends. The final award, of course, goes to The Miz, which is really just being the best at everything, essentially.
And the fans chanting, "You deserve it." He didn't disagree, he seemed like he wanted to say something like, "Shut up, of course I do."
Yeah.
Why would you even have to say it? Because, of course I do.
I'll say this. Indianapolis, great crowd tonight.
Yeah, they were hot, man.
They were really
hot. Indy likes wrestling. They always have.
It's the Midwest.
Yeah.
The Midwest in general, they go crazy for it.
It's big. They got a lot of time to fill,
mm-hmm.
and they mostly fill it with alcohol, and you can fill it with wrestling and alcohol. Those things go together really well.
Alcohol and basketball, maybe?
Well, no, you break an ankle.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't play
Larry Bird's from Indiana.
Pickup ball.
Well, I'm saying Larry Bird's from Indiana.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, he played basketball to get out of Indiana.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe not. Nonetheless, though, yes, all the awards are given out. The Miz wins his own award. And Dylan Matthews, what about La Habo? That makes no sense whatsoever.
I've been to La Habo. Nope. Sorry, that was La Habra. My bad.
That is La Habra. The funny thing is, too, because my name is spelled L-O, and your name doesn't have two B's, so I'm not quite sure.
Doesn't. No, it only has one.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Good attempt, though.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
I think that's Habo. With two B's?
It
like
is Habo.
The Hobbit?
It is Habo.
Habo.
Yeah, you're like the Hobbit's cousin.
No.
Or not. So Roman Reigns hits the ramp, and, you know, the Miz and everything, they were bragging about how they ended Roman Reigns. They got rid of him for good, where, of course, Roman hits the ramp looking angry. And he says, the rumors about the Shield, well, they're true. Bam, Dean Ambrose hits the ramp. Seth Rollins hits the ramp. They storm down to the ring. They essentially take out everyone. Then they triple powerbomb to Mr. Miz in his nice suit.
Yeah, this was a powerful statement. I mean, the Shield back together again. It was giving everybody what they already wanted. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they sort of spoiled it for everybody in the arena and thus everybody online. They were selling Shield T-shirts.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, they wore them tonight already.
Well, that's okay. I mean, they should have waited till the secret was out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk into the arena and sell a surprise to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they're Shield shirts. Wonder who's going to be showing up tonight.
Well, you know what makes more money than surprises?
What?
T-shirts?
Yeah, but
so,
I don't know. I think they spoiled it a little bit. I think this should have closed the show. Not that the Cruiserweight match wasn't fantastic. It was.
It was great.
But in my opinion, the Shield should have closed the show.
You're probably right on that. Of course, we had a fourth person added to now the main event at TLC.
Yeah.
Also, Zeno Hour, the great comment here. Did anyone see the Pence Band's Backbreakers sign? No, but that's great, whoever wrote that.
Well, good on you. Somebody's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, that's funny stuff right there. Mike Pence would not find it funny, but he has no sense of humor.
No, he's not. He's a cartoon character who just doesn't get it.
No, he's a robot. So, yes, they clean house. They triple powerbomb The Miz. Going to commercial break. Coming back, Jason Jordan, Carl Anderson. About 5 minutes, Jason Jordan takes care of him.
Yeah, pretty much. Jordan, I mean, it's everybody would say that Jordan would have clear advantage over Anderson. I mean, with or without Gallows at ringside.
Sure.
But I disagree. You know, I've known Carl a long time.
Carl's great.
He's from out here, the machine gun. And he's seen it all. He's got experience on experience worldwide. So I think he's actually a pretty solid competitor to go up against Jason Jordan. And Gallows was able to turn the tides in Anderson's favor at least one point during this match. Tried to make it twice, but got caught. And that was pretty much the end. Jordan is just an amazing technical wrestler.
He really
is. Powerhouse. Yeah. I mean, there really is nobody like him on the roster right now. He stands alone in what he does.
No, there's no doubt about that. And that's the thing is, it's I'm sure his run so far on the Raw roster hasn't exactly gone according to plan with fan reaction. But at the same time, you had to kind of expect it a little bit with the way the sun revealing and stuff like that.
Right.
At first, it could have been cool, but I think the same fans who hate Roman Reigns are getting on Jason Jordan because they kind of feel like it's another Rocky Maivia situation.
I mean, a little, but I don't know. I'm willing to give Jordan the benefit of the doubt because I've known him for longer. I saw him come up in NXT. He had been in NXT almost longer than anybody. I mean, and really, the evolution of where he started out to where he is now.
Sure.
He had a hell of a journey. And just to get here, it was in NXT. We almost didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for him connecting with Chad Gable, and Chad Gable really bringing the personality.
Okay, what was it? It was because he was just that bland. Because you look at the guy, there's no one like him physically.
Right.
There's no one that can do what he can do in the ring. It just had to be that he was... He's like a Boy Scout, it seems like. He seems like such a great guy.
He's a machine. You know, he's a wrestling machine. He's not a character. He's not anybody.
He's the kind of person that back in the day you'd put a mask on him.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Or not. Just give him somebody to talk for him. Because he's real pretty. I wouldn't put a mask on that.
Sure.
But I'd say, you know, he's got a lot going for him, but he just couldn't break out of the box. And Chad Gable really... Those two guys were made to be together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little sad that they aren't together right now, but I think Chad will be okay on his own. He'll.
I mean, they're both going to be fine, I think.
But I mean, it's hard seeing Jason get such a push mm-hmm. and Chad kind of not. But I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I would have been more interested.
I think it'll be fine.
I would have been a lot more interested in seeing Gable and Shelton Benjamin both go a singles route because we've barely heard from Benjamin. It was supposed to be a hugely applauded return, and we barely heard anything.
Well,
you know,
it was tough because he was going to have that big return. Then he got injured. Now he's back? Question mark. I don't watch SmackDown.
Yeah, technically yes.
Well, then
they're a tag team.
Then I don't.
They got put together as a tag team. Right
I think
away.
Eventually that's just going to sour, and I think they're going to end up going their separate ways.
Sure.
So they split up a tag team, but they needed a tag team, so they kind of remade a tag team.
Essentially,
yeah. It's. I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the club goes, you know, AJ and Charyl says, poor Tex and Chad, though. That'd be Chad too bad and Tex from...
Ferguson.
There you go.
Tex
Thank
Ferguson.
You. Yeah, you know, they're kind of stuck in no man's land right now because, well, the Raw Tag Team Champions are part of the Shield, and those titles are not even going to be on the line at TLC.
It's tough.
Soon.
Yeah, it's... Unless... well, I don't know. I literally have no idea. It is tough. For the tag team division, they're not able to get their shot unless the tag team champions work twice that night at TLC.
Mm.
But I seriously doubt that would happen.
Yeah, apparently Gable and Benjamin had the kickoff show at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, okay.
So there you go. I didn't get a chance to see the pre-show. So.
I didn't either.
Yes. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with Gallows and Anderson because I mean that, we still haven't seen the best of them.
I think they are the best. Yeah. Honestly, the fact they can come on every week and have great matches with absolutely anybody they're put with, they're the best. They may not win like the best,
sure.
but I'd say they're hands down one of the most solid tag teams that. Exist in WWE the world over.
And it seems like they genuinely are enjoying themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what their outcome is.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
They like this. They like the road.
I mean, you're on the road and you're making more money than you essentially can make anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, Gallows has got a school now.
Oh, yeah, where's that?
Out in, North Carolina.
Nice.
Somewhere. East, middle. Yeah.
It's called the Good Brother School.
Something like that, yeah.
Sweet. Next up, it's time to walk with Elias. Before he even gets any lyrics out, he's interrupted by a banjo-playing Titus O'Neil. And look, I say this in all sincerity. I love the banjo. You don't hear many people say that. I love the banjo as an instrument.
I do, yeah. It's
I would imagine you would.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah.
It takes skill to play. Like, you got to have lightning fingers to play the banjo.
I heard it's incredibly... Because I wanted to play the banjo at some point. And a friend of mine who's a musician said, yo, it's worse than guitar. And I'm like, oh, good. I suck at guitar.
Right. Because you need your fingers have to be real callous. Those strings are so tight and so sharp. You either have really callous fingers or picks on each individual finger. I have a friend who plays.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Banjo?
Yeah. She's been studying it for years.
Okay.
And it's really difficult. It's not an easy instrument. A lot of people don't like it. I don't know why.
I think it's great. I mean, Titus, I don't believe, was an expert.
I like
not,
how
not by any means. I'm kind of curious as to how they got a banjo.
I like how Zeno Hour comments Deliverance 2, if you guys ever seen that.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, that great banjo scene. It's so funny.
Yep.
I did not see that movie.
You've never seen Deliverance?
I've not. I've heard so many things about it, and I feel like I should, but I feel like I'll regret it if I do see it. So
well,
maybe.
I mean, you may never want to get into a canoe ever again.
Oh. Well, not a big fan of canoes as is.
Okay. Then, you know, no harm, no foul.
So I could suffer through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Titus O'Neil playing the banjo, kind of sings a song about Elias. Bottom line is Apollo Crews versus Elias. And once again, doesn't take very long. There's a bit of a miscommunication. Elias with the win. What is happening to Titus worldwide? This makes me so upset.
I don't know. It's very weird. I thought we saw actually probably one of the best versions of Apollo Crews we've seen in a long time.
He was fantastic. It was so nice to see Apollo doing his stuff again.
He felt fired up. You know, he was feeling it tonight.
He could do things that no one else can.
I wouldn't say that, but
well, okay.
He does look good doing it.
He's very good at what he does.
Yeah, very good. I mean, he's sort of, I don't know, the motivation's tough. I'm glad he has a manager, being Titus, but I don't know where all this is going, you know? That's sort of the problem with Elias. People end up in feuds with Elias that don't seem to go anywhere, like Balor was in a feud with Elias, if you can really reach that far back and remember.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and it never seems to go anywhere.
Yeah, and as far as Apollo, you know, you don't see Titus hanging out with Tozawa anymore on 205
right.
Live. So,
right.
I don't know. I love the whole premise behind Titus Worldwide. I love it because it's so pompous and so out there, but it's so easy to latch onto and have fun because they have the catchphrase. And as we know from watching wrestling for the past 25 years, you get a good catchphrase, it's going to be
well, that's money.
It's going to work.
That's like having a hit song.
Absolutely.
You can just play that for the rest of your life.
Thank you. So, yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see maybe more members join, but
seems to be stuck really in neutral right now. Like, they're not gaining any momentum, and they just sort of, they don't seem to be completely disbanding, but they're certainly slowing down.
And I think this is like the third time now Apollo's lost to Elias.
Maybe the second Titus.
At least.
Titus lost.
Well, there you go.
To him. And, Apollo lost, Titus lost, now Apollo's lost again.
So Titus Worldwide's 0-3.
Over the drifter Elias. Well, if they'd even call him the drifter.
I was certain Apollo was going to win tonight, and I was wrong.
I mean, he looked good. He had a little bit of, he had a step ahead. He really did, but I don't know. Elias is just a little bit more crafty.
Everyone in chat roll is saying someone's going to turn on someone. Some are saying Titus. Some are saying Apollo. Yeah, you might be right. That might have to happen.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. They just got a shirt.
Yeah.
Like, that's my only thing. Is like, yeah, okay, Crews could turn on Titus, and that would mean possibly Crews being slightly more interesting than he ever has been before.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would just be Titus going back to him being a heel. But then you have all those breast cancer commercials where he's crying about his mom,
right.
And then we have mixed messages and headaches.
I think Titus Worldwide is too fun at this point. I think there's room for it to do well. There just has to be more than just one client in Titus Worldwide.
Here's what I think you should do. Tryouts for Titus Worldwide. Bring in local talent.
Right.
Have them work other established wrestlers and have him kind of like put them under the wing. How you doing tonight? You know, that kind of thing. And it would keep it fresh and new.
Yeah.
And you would be waiting for that day that one of the Titus Worldwide tryouts actually won their match and were brought into Titus Worldwide as a client.
And remember back in the day when you had a Bobby Heenan, you had a Jimmy Hart? They would manage more than one person.
Absolutely.
Hey, why not?
Heyman did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's just got Brock, but that's fine.
Which is enough, yeah.
Titus needs to diversify.
If you don't have Tozawa anymore, get someone else.
Absolutely. And having local guys allows local talent to get a chance to be with the WWE, and it makes people pay attention just a little bit. And you can get talent on the roster over without putting anybody under. It's like when Braun Strowman used to just kill people.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Who knows? We'll see. Enzo and Kurt Angle backstage. Enzo's making demands at Kurt Angle, saying that, you know, the contract about how no one's allowed to touch him. Well, Kurt said, hey, the whole Kalisto thing, this was made before Kalisto showed up and before I signed him. Therefore, he was allowed to beat you up last week. And Enzo's like, hey, I don't want the match at TLC. This is ridiculous. I'm going to put my title in line. And Kurt says, okay, then you'll do it tonight. Bam, main event. Oh, and by the way, it's a lumberjack match. So all of the cruiserweights who loathe Enzo are going to be around the ring. And Enzo says, all right, but I want it to be in the main event. So this is the third Raw in a row that the cruiserweight division is closing out the show.
It's a big deal. Honestly, everything that Enzo says, it's you know, it really puts people down. He doesn't end up giving anybody any credit except himself. But the problem is, he's 100% right. Since he won the title, they've closed out the show three times.
Yeah.
Three times. The flagship show of WWE. So everything he says is absolutely correct. Agree, disagree, fact is, he has put 205 in that position himself.
And I'm not going to deny that at all. I mean, everyone, and it's not like they're hiding the fact that everyone knows Enzo is not the greatest in-ring performer in the cruiserweight division. Far from it.
He doesn't cast any aspersions on that fact either.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Not at all. But to his credit, though, his character has been doing everything possible, hook, line, and sinker, to keep the title and to win matches. So he makes up for his shortcomings by being devious and being mischievous and, you know, being somewhat evil in a way. And you're right, three Raws in a row with the cruiserweights closing out. You know, I love Neville. Neville's my dude. I think Neville's superstar of the year, in my opinion, leading up to this. You know, we're here we are in October, and I don't think that's going to change unless Neville disappears off TV for the next few months. But to Enzo's credit, he's been in the main event.
No one has been able, in 205, no one has been able to get the entire crowd on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And Enzo, with his abilities on the mic.
Him and Cass did, yeah.
Right, but more Enzo than Cass.
Sure.
Because Enzo's, I was talking to him recently, and he says, you know what my key to success is? I write. I write all the time.
Oh, I see that.
So that's his real key to success. It's not in-ring, it's before the ring. Mm-hmm. It's on that entranceway before he actually
enters. Oh, yeah, and he knows.
Ring.
He's almost like a comic. You're always thinking about an idea, or what can you jot down, or like what joke can you write? He's the same way, and to his, you know, he should be. I think more people should be. If your full time job is to be a professional wrestler and you're a character, you should be thinking about that stuff all day when you're on the road, or when you're at the gym. Like, that's, more people need to do that, and they become better characters.
I think there's a lot of wrestlers in the world, and there's not a whole lot of characters.
Oh, absolutely.
And everybody just wants to be themselves. But the plain and simple fact, and I've said this to a lot of people, you're not interesting. You're a normal guy, and that's a detriment to you as a performer.
Oh, yeah.
You lived an average life. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go be weird.
I will say this, though. It's fun to work with someone where you're trying to bring a character out of them or emotion, and when you see the light bulb go off in their head, it's really cool. Like, I had one of those little moments yesterday at our tapings working with someone, and when you give them an idea and they understood what you were going for, they're like, oh. And then you see them actually do it, and it worked. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who, because obviously, you know. But it was pretty cool.
Well, there's always room for growth. It's just, it's funny to see who gets it and who doesn't. And obviously, Enzo understands.
And who works at it.
Right. Enzo understands his station. Mm-hmm. He understands what he's trying to accomplish. And it's working. Because that match tonight, that close of the show,
was
absolutely hot. No one knew which way it was going to go. And despite Enzo being now one of those guys that acts like he's high and mighty, everybody was sad to see him lose tonight.
I was a little surprised, I will say that.
Sure.
We'll get to it.
That's the benefit of, I think, the cruiserweight title. Mm-hmm. You never know which way it's really going to go. They've established that.
It could be hot potato.
And
bottom line is, as long as you're doing compelling television, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Braun Strowman defeats Matt Hardy, and then he starts to carry him up the ramp. Oh, God. Thank you, Tony. Well, the Shield shows up in their brand new shirts. They attack Braun Strowman, triple power bomb through the announcer's table.
I wouldn't say they attack Braun Strowman. I'd say they get even with Braun Strowman.
Fair enough, because he's
had it with all three of them.
That's
he's
right.
He's had it out with all three of them over the last few weeks. Obviously, with Reigns being his, you know, number one
He's not finished with them, as you know.
Right. And
never will be.
Now he's beaten the tag team champions in two consecutive weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to hand it to Matt Hardy, though. I do want to talk about
Love
this match.
Me some Matt Hardy. Come on
I
now.
I didn't think Matt Hardy had a chance in hell, to be quite frank. But he was able to hit a lot of really spectacular offense.
Twist
on
of Fate looked fantastic.
I didn't think he could bring him down, truthfully. But he caught him in the right way, man. He brought his weight over his toes and down he went.
And also that is also to credit to Braun Strowman, man. The guy, he's a blue chipper. Like, he has learned and just...
Although he was a little rough on Matt tonight, I saw. You see, that first choke slam was okay. It was a little forceful. The second one, he threw him away, and you could see the back of Matt's head whip. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, well... I mean, he is a 400-pound monster.
He's a strong man.
He's not going to be that gentle.
No. And but I wouldn't still. Expect him to be. But I would. I for big guys, I always look for control. Because power without control is fairly meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have the control, but without... Or you can have the power, but without the control, you know, you don't really have much. So that's what I always look for with Strowman. How is he controlling himself? How is he controlling his footing?
Usually he's very controlled.
How is he controlling everybody else? Matt Hardy got a little bit away from him tonight.
Yeah.
So, that's a test. You're in there with a vet like Matt Hardy, and all of a sudden you're kind of like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a test in itself.
Well, the triple powerbomb was not gentle through the announcer's table, so the Shield is back. They are officially back. The t-shirts are made. They're powerbombing people left and right. How long is this going to last? Who knows?
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of this. I think Strowman was asking for it. And I think this is what goes around comes around, dude.
Well, you got to believe, though, they're going to be in a traditional Survivor Series match. They got to be.
It's certainly smelling like it.
Yeah.
You got 4-3. We need two more on one side, one more on the other.
We'll go 5-5.
5-5.
That's the original classic one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too many of those anymore.
That's what I think. You got to have that 5-5.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle talking with the entire women's roster minus Mickie James and Alexa Bliss. They all want a shot at Asuka. Why? I have no idea.
Oh, I know why.
Because they get on a pay-per-view.
Old wounds don't heal, man.
She
beat the tar out of everybody in NXT.
She did.
Now she's coming back and all the girls are like, I want another shot at her. Mm-hmm. I've been on Raw longer than her and I faced some of the best there is, so I think I can beat her this time.
Matter of fact, I think out of the five of them, the only person who never faced her was Alicia Fox.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Fox wants to make that statement, I think, more than anybody.
The
others have lost to Asuka. Alicia Fox could be like, I'm the only one to ever beat Asuka. She could be that one.
It was weird to not see Nia Jax. Is she hurt or something? Wasn't on the show?
I don't know. She can take a night off and didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, I guess so. So Kurt Angle makes a fatal five-way match that's going to happen tonight. The winner gets Asuka at TLC on October 22nd, I should say. What month is it? I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher defeat Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander. Kendrick with the sliced bread for the win. Not a whole lot to say about that.
I like the match. You know, Kendrick, I think, is the smartest guy probably in WWE.
Oh, yeah, Kendrick's great.
Yeah. No, I mean, really brilliant. And that's part of the true reason why he's so dangerous is his breadth of knowledge is so deep that he's impossible to scout.
I want Kendrick talking. I know he talks on 205 Live, but like, I just like Kendrick when he speaks because he is so different.
He's dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
He's crazy. I love him. He's crazy.
he's the best. There was a while back in the day, I forget what years he was with Impact, but no joke.
Oh, yeah.
He was he was like the number one reason to watch every week because I couldn't wait to see what he was saying and what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And he still got it. It's just a matter of whether or not, you know, gets the opportunity.
Yeah.
So
I think he's helping a lot of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
These younger guys actually understand a bit more about what's going on. I mean, they called him the most seasoned wrestler on 205. Not using those words, I'm paraphrasing, but that's he's the oldest, current wrestler on 205.
For sure, by far.
Yeah.
So. All right, moving on. Miz and Kurt Angle backstage. Miz says, I want a fourth partner because Dean Ambrose said that the Shield doesn't care. They'll face anyone. 3, 4, 5, 6, 19, who knows? And Kurt Angle says, all right, you can have a fourth partner. And Miz says, well, he's right over here. And the door just opens and Braun Strowman just marches through the door and just breathes heavy and pants.
Just seething. Seething.
Yeah, you could say that. He's seething.
It was, Miz is pretty smart. He knows exactly how to work Kurt Angle. Question his third eye, his integrity.
Miz is another one who could be Superstar of the Year.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Can't argue him either, so.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be 3-on-4 now, TLC. Add Braun Strowman to the mix. That's a main event that's going to be really fun to watch.
That's going to be bonkers, man.
Think about it. Sheamus, Cesaro, Strowman, Reigns. Right there, that's arguably the four most physical people you have.
Yeah. Yeah, on the roster, mm-hmm. as a whole, those four guys could clean anybody's clock.
And Ambrose has no fear whatsoever.
No.
We've seen his work in the past.
Literally fearless.
Yep. And yeah. Rollins, to his credit too, will fly.
Rollins is calculated. There's the difference. Dean will jump off anything. Rollins will measure and cut. Measure twice, cut once, and end up hitting something perfect.
And the Miz will just be a psychological master.
So puppet master.
Yes.
It'll turn on him, though. Always does. Mm-hmm. You can only calculate people's emotions so long until it turns and bites you. Yep. If the dog bites. That's one of my favorite lines. If the dog bites, just a matter of time till the dog bites you.
Oh.
Yeah. It'll always turn around. If you're hanging out with somebody and they're talking trash about somebody else,
it's only a matter
and you're
of time.
Laughing about them, guess what they're doing behind your back? They're talking trash about you.
They're biting you like
a
dog.
Dog bite.
Bite. All right, we got to talk about this. So Finn Balor's in the ring, not afraid of Bray Wyatt. He's already defeated him a couple times. Bray Wyatt's a liar, and he's desperate. And that's when Bray appears on the screen, and he said, "Oh, I forget exactly word for word because it was very strange. It was very odd." But he said, Sister Abigail's here.
He channeled the spirit of.
Right. He mentioned, he's like, I was there when she died. And, yeah, I guess we're not going to mention when Randy Orton burned the house to the ground and whatever.
I don't even know if that's when it was. That's the thing.
No, it was before that.
We know what we don't know. And what we don't know is if she was real, though he speaks of her as if she were.
What we do know is we don't know.
Right. We know what we don't know.
So, Bray Wyatt, his face turns into a veil covered, distorted.
Yeah, I don't know.
Help!
I don't even know what words to describe this. I can only wait to see the whole thing because what they're showing us, I'm not particularly frightened by.
It was getting a lot of flack online.
They're showing us the shark. We can't see the shark. It's Jaws, you know? That's the trick about the movie Jaws.
Yeah.
You don't see the shark. The more you see, the less creepy it is. Because guess what? It's a rubber friggin' shark.
Look at the money that Blair Witch got.
Yeah.
Blair Witch made a lot of money. Why? Because, number one, a lot of people thought it was real at first. Number two, you never see the damn Blair Witch.
Exactly.
So,
they're showing us too much. We can't see the shark.
Did they paint themselves in a corner here? Like,
They better, my hope is, and I could be wrong, that they have a real solid, this is it plan.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something, and they have a plan, and it's going to be this really crazy thing that they're going to debut, or it's going to be the friggin' Yeti, and we're all going to be really pissed.
Or it just might be something that we never see again, or we only see on the screen. Because Bray Wyatt's not going to cross-dress when he gets in the ring or anything.
Who knows?
We don't know.
We don't know. We literally don't know. This could be great, or it could be terrible. But we just have to wait and see.
To me, the way, I mean, I'm watching this, and I'm like, to me, this just, they want us to realize that Bray Wyatt is obviously schizophrenic, split personality. Sister Abigail
He's
could
possessed.
Be.
Possessed.
Well, it could be made up in his head.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
We don't know.
But it's that there's the fear of we don't know what exactly he is. I would say he's possessed. The change in voice, that's a possession. Good luck faking that.
That's true. I mean, I'm a paranormal geek, and I've seen those things, you know, read about them, and that's, yeah.
Maybe he's been possessed this whole time. And it's only been some, it took him facing someone close to him, close to his level of psychic malady,
yeah,
for him to actually fully embody the Sister Abigail that exists somewhere inside of him.
Right, because he claims she said she would never leave him, she would be there for him, and now is the time. The question is, where does it go from here? Obviously, TLC is going to happen. You know, afterwards, Finn Balor was speaking backstage, and I know he was essentially conveying fear.
And he looked shook. He looked shook. I would be, too. I mean, imagine, okay, so we're all kind of like, well, that looks dumb. You don't have to wrestle that, though. It doesn't take away from the fact that that's a 300-plus pound man.
Sure.
I've seen Bray Wyatt up close.
Big dude.
Friggin' grizzly bear.
He's a rotunda.
Like, he's frightening. And mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you don't think he's crazy. He thinks he's crazy. He's going to prove to you that he's crazy. He has the means, the motive, and the opportunity to do anything he wants to you to prove his point that he's
right.
crazy. So it doesn't matter if he's crazy. If he's going to prove it, he's going to tear you apart, limb from limb.
And Orlando Orego in chat roll had the same idea you and I were talking about before we went on the air. It could be a lot like Norman Bates.
Yeah, the Norman Bates.
And, you know, Psycho was a very successful film.
Yeah.
And Norman Bates to this day is still an iconic character. You go to Halloween Horror Nights, they still have the Psycho house, and there's a Norman Bates.
That moment at the end of the movie where he's speaking and it's his mother's voice coming out of his mouth is
right?
a hell of a lot like what we saw tonight.
And think about how groundbreaking that was back then.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I understand. Look, we're in an age where people are going to make fun of everything. You can't do anything right in 2017
no.
without people saying something about it.
No.
I applaud the fact that it's something different. For years, Bray Wyatt's been around talking about Sister Abigail. This is the first time we've essentially seen any glimpse of it. So will it lead to anything? That's what we don't know. But I'm glad there's at least something.
A lot of people are arguably speculating that there could be a real female that comes into play to be Sister Abigail. Honestly, I think that would be bad. That's,
yeah.
That's my two cents.
Because then where does it go?
It's more dangerous and more shaking if it is Bray himself who is the thing that he believes he is.
Right. It's going to be incredibly short-term for whatever woman they use
right.
in that role. And so I agree with you.
It could be transformative if there is another woman.
That'd be really progressive if that's
right.
the case.
It could be one of those things if she goes on to just dominate the female division with her... With him. Well,
or if Bray can really pull off the double personality, that's something that we haven't really seen, per se, in this regard.
I mean, so, we've sort of seen it with the demon. But I don't think there's enough of a separation between Bray Wyatt and the demon. Finn Balor and the demon.
Right.
That's what I believe. But Bray Wyatt has proved that.
Bray has range, so a lot more range than Balor does as a character,
right,
for
just,
sure.
Just because you don't understand what he's saying during his promos doesn't mean that he doesn't.
Yeah.
He knows what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the proof I really need to say that he's dangerous.
We will see where it goes, but at least it's something different, and I understand people are saying it's a Snapchat film. I get that.
Okay, maybe the execution's not that great.
But it's something to look forward to over the next couple
of weeks.
We're
talking about it.
Damn right.
People are going to be talking about it. What do you think this is? What do you think of this? It's a big talking point. And I think more than anything, that's what WWE wants.
And Angie Harris, good point. What if it's an alternate personality, like we were talking about, like Jeff Hardy and Willow? It could
yeah.
be.
Well,
it could be.
I hope he doesn't wear that mask, though.
So the Fatal 5-Way, Dana Brooke eliminated first, followed by Bayley, then Alicia Fox taps out, then Emma rolls up Sasha Banks for the win. Emma is going to get her butt kicked by Asuka at TLC. That's the prize that she gets.
Well, I mean, not if you ask her.
Sure.
I think Emma's pretty confident in her own abilities, but Asuka says it herself, nobody's ready for Asuka.
Nope.
And I don't think anyone is. I don't think anybody ever is.
Mm-mm.
She is dangerous.
It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, TLC's shaping up to be... Look, No Mercy was fantastic. TLC's shaping up to be a lot of fun, too. And Hell in a Cell, it was bookended by two completely insane, amazing matches. In the middle was fine, too. So, yeah, I mean, for how many pay-per-views there are, they're finding ways to make them good.
Yeah, and I think Asuka's entrance into the WWE Universe is going to be... It's going to be a benchmark.
Sure hope so.
I think it's going to be huge. Mm-hmm. If it isn't, I will be disappointed, but I think they are going to give her the absolute hero's welcome.
Yeah, she's undefeated and, you know...
Longest reigning champion of any women's... Well, not any women's, but of the modern women's era.
Yeah.
With her NXT championship run.
Which, as much as I want to see Mickie James become the 7-time champion, it makes me wonder because... You would think Alexa Bliss hangs on to it, and then bam, Asuka shows up, takes it. But
did you ever see the Asuka versus Mickie James match from TakeOver?
Just going to say that. I sure as hell did.
That is the reason Mickie James is back at WWE.
It was great.
It's because Asuka put her back here. Mm-hmm. Asuka showed her there is a ton of talent in WWE's women division, and Mickie James said, maybe I want to come back and play.
Mickie's phenomenal.
Well, she's the best.
Oh, well, we forgot. They had a really great promo tonight. I totally forgot about that. Once again, I've been saying for months, Mickie James should be on television. She should be in the title picture. Why? Because she's that much better than everybody else, and she's proven it again. Gold on the mic. Alexa, to her credit, also very, very good. They have great chemistry together, and it's just working.
Yeah.
Simple.
That whole video package of the sort of this was your life kind of thing was hokey.
Here's the thing. The age thing, it's ageism. It's been done a zillion times, and I get that. But Mickie James is so good right now, it's still a pleasure to see her on TV. So I don't care if they're doing the ageism thing. She's not letting it affect her.
Right.
And she's just, you know... There's no pauses in what she's saying. There's no stutter. Like, she is so sure of what she's saying.
Well, that's also something that comes with age. Mm-hmm. Only a person of really, I'd say, more
experience.
Advanced age
experience.
And experience has got that that self, that sense of self that only comes with age.
Well,
and
think
she
about
is
it.
Dominant. She understands, man.
You and I are both better on the mic than we were 5 years ago.
Sure.
Same thing. And,
sure.
And so I'm just so glad to see her in a main event picture because she is... She's just brought it every single time she's had an opportunity. And so I think her and Alexa are going to have just a really fun match. And I can't wait to see what Mickey, you know, if she does win the title, her and Asuka, damn, it's going to be something else.
Be bonkers.
Yes, it will. And finally, the main event. Well, first off, Kalisto said he was inspired by Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. Happy birthday, Eddie. We love you. 50 years old, you would have been today.
Yeah.
Leading up to the main event, Lumberjack match, Enzo versus Kalisto. You already mentioned it. This show was so fun. The superplex on everybody.
Yep.
Woo!
Big pile.
Yes, it was.
Pile of bodies. I think the match was... It really felt to me like its pace kept getting faster and faster toward the end. And with a wrestling match, that's sort of what you want. You want that fevered pitch toward the end. And I think it just... Everything kept going more and more out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I think Enzo tonight wrestled... More than he's ever wrestled in a match before.
It.
Which is funny, because usually when guys, they get lazier as they get better. Because that's what being a bad guy really is. It's just being lazy.
Right.
You know how to wrestle. But if you could reverse a wrist lock in like four ways or four moves, or you could poke a guy in the eye and grab the wrist... You just get lazy and you go, I'm going to poke him in the eye. I'm going to take that wrist back because it's simpler and you don't want to wrestle anymore. Enzo's the only guy I've seen who gets to be the bad guy and put everybody down and then he's a wrestler.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of brilliant.
This match worked, man. Just aside from the superplex, it just worked. And then Enzo hits the eat defeat, goes for the pin. Mustafa Ali pulls him out of the ring.
Because Enzo kicked Mustafa Ali in the face midway through the match. It came back around and got him.
It did. Enzo with a massive clothesline. He goes into the corner to kind of, mess up Kalisto a little bit. Kalisto hits the Salina del Sol to perfection. He landed... Yeah. He hits the split and lands and damn, hooks the leg for the win.
That was it. There's no getting out of that. Enzo wanted a nice avalanche suplex.
Yep.
And he turned it around with a super Salina del Sol.
This match was
beautiful.
Fantastic. And all of a sudden, Enzo's title reign is over in a matter of 3 weeks?
Something like that.
Yeah.
2-3 weeks.
Something like that. So. Congrats to Kalisto, the brand new cruiserweight champion. I'm still intrigued to watch 205 live, and this match was a really great way to close out the show. And congrats to the cruiserweights being a part of the main event 3 weeks in a row on Raw.
Yeah, I think these guys, they really want to be in the main event.
Yeah.
You know, you, as a wrestler, you take a lot of things for granted. You're in the main event, you're like, I don't, you know, after a while, it doesn't matter. In the main event.
That's life in general, though.
Right.
We do take things for granted that we often shouldn't.
So I think the cruiserweights, they're fresh enough that they don't get. When they get a spot in the main event, they really take advantage of it because they want it. They want to prove that they are an integral part of the show and the company as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
They are not interchangeable or dispensable. They want to be indispensable. So when you give them that spotlight in the main event, closing out the show, they grab it. They seize the opportunity. They really enjoy it.
And like you mentioned, Enzo listened and he brought it. I mean, the match... You know, it was calculated at first, a lot of holds and everything, but they made it work, and there was a lot of really great action throughout it.
Yeah. No, I think it ended up on the highest note it possibly could.
And what a finish, too. Poof.
Yeah. I mean,
everything about it, and like you said, you know, kicking Mustafa in the head, came back to get him. Everything just made sense.
Yeah. It was a great story. The match was a great story.
It really was. And unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to do Eddie Teddy Long tonight, but that's okay. We'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
Make sure you follow Markia McCarty at Markia McCarty and Mark Warzeka at Mark Warzeka. True Hobo, put yourself over.
My name is The Hobo, and you can find me on Twitter at True Hobo and Instagram at True Hobo. I had a match on Saturday that I really want you to see, and it was bonkers crazy pants.
Nice.
And I don't often say that I really want you to see this match, but this match was friggin' crazy. And I wrestled a guy named J.J. King from up in Redlands, California. That dude is crazy, and he brought the crazy out in me. So go to Soapbox Car TV on YouTube and watch that match. You will not regret it. Great match.
Boom. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. We debuted on the CW this past Saturday morning on 110 affiliates. I'm losing my voice. So no matter where you live, check your local listings. 7 a.m. Saturday mornings, the CW, you might be able to watch our show every single week. If not, you can watch us on Fight TV. Our next taping in Arizona is this Sunday, October 15th, and our next taping for Hollywood is Sunday, October 22nd, and the events have been phenomenal. The matches have been great. The tapings have gone so well, and I can't say enough fun things about it. So please check us out. Help us get those ratings, man. That's what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a long journey to get here. The show has been on television for 7 years. I've been a part of it for 5, and I've won 2 championships with that company.
Yep.
So I would like to see it succeed. I'd like to see everybody who's affiliated with that show to succeed and find success. And I would like to see you really enjoy this show like we enjoy making it. It's a labor of love.
As someone who's been there for 7 years since day one, it's pretty crazy to be at this point where we're getting on the CW and nationwide attention. So, yeah, check us out. And also, QuastoAlbum.com, my new comedy album, made the Billboard Top 10. A lot of you have already bought it. A lot of you have already purchased it. I appreciate that. And what else? I'm going to be at the Atlanta Punchline October 19th to 21st with my friend Rachel Feinstein. So thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm going to go drink a whole bunch of water. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.